1 Kings chapter 17. I'll get there in a minute. I got a few other things. I got to teach the teen class this morning, and they happened to be in Ephesians, so I talked about honoring your mother. Ephesians chapter 6 says honor your mother. And I asked the teens, I said, well, you know, how do you think you honor your parents? And boy, they were pretty sharp. They did good. Two words came out, respect and obedience. Those are the two ways that you honor your parents, by the way. But I told them to do this, and I was thinking about it. I was going to share this with you guys, too. And my mom passed away in 2003. You know, I miss my parents. My dad's gone, too. Miss them every day. But if your mom's still living, and maybe you could even do this if your mom's not living, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Pay attention. Write your mother a letter and write down what your mother means to you. Write down things like, I like it when you fill in the blank, whatever it may be. What you think your mom is good at, what she's best at, things that is probably more than one thing. Like my mom's fried chicken was, man, it was top dog. Her spaghetti sauce, which my dad could also make, was top dog. It was good stuff. My mom's penchant for cleanliness, man. You could do the white glove test on every little ledge in the house and there wouldn't be any dust. Trust me, it stuck with me about that. But write her down. Give, you know, and I'm going to tell you something about this. You write your mother a letter, she's alive. Write down what you love about your mother, things that she does the best. Things that she's taught you that you'll never forget in your whole life. And you give that to your mother, and I'm going to tell you something. She'll cherish that more than anything you could buy. Maybe a new car, but I'm just saying. No, she will. She'll keep that the rest of her life. She'll cherish that more than anything else that you can buy. Now, I told the teens that this morning, so I don't know if they're going to do it or not, but I'm putting pressure on you, William. He's shaking his head, no. There'll be a day you wish you had it. There'll be a day in your life, if the Lord don't come back, that you'll wish you had done what I'm telling you to do. And it'll mean more to your mom than any other thing that you could possibly get her. I read this thing, and some of these things, I've probably used them before, but we forget them, and some of you weren't here, and you didn't get it. And if there was a mother's job application, like you're applying for a job, this is what the application would look like. It would say on there that it was a permanent job. When you apply for this job, you can't quit. You can't, you know, none of those things. The successful applicant must be prepared for hard work, must be able to work in a challenging and chaotic environment, must possess excellent communication and organizational skills, willing to work long and variable hours, including weekends and holidays, chauffeuring skills required. If you got real young kids, you don't know as much about that till they get a little bit older, but you will. Would help to be skilled at maintenance, janitorial duties, laundry, ironing, medical training would be helpful. Prospects of promotion are none. You'll remain at the same position for life. No retirement. No vacation. I was thinking about it as I was writing these, thinking about a mother's, how our mothers care for us, how our mothers love us. It really parallels how God loves us, how a mother, you know, how they care for you constantly. Really, really parallels that. Our mothers taught us a lot of things. Foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother told me that. My mother honestly said, I said, Mom, for an accident, my underwear is probably not going to be clean. Shortly thereafter, my mom told me that. Logic. Our mothers taught us logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. They taught us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. They taught us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Genetics. You're just like your father. Amen. They taught us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your food. Amen. You'll get that on the way home. Contortions. Will you just look at that dirt on the back of your neck? Are y'all getting this? Is this thing working? Man, alive. I was thought in my afterlife I was going to be a comedian. I'm going to give up. I think all mothers, if you're going to be a mother, you're going to have a sense of humor. Trust me on this. You're going to have a sense of humor. As I was saying earlier, there's a lot of mothers in the Bible, and I know I've used this one before. So if you're one of those that keeps track of that, I know I've used it before. You don't have to tell me at the end of the service. Give me the date, year. 1 Kings chapter 17, we have a mother there. It starts in verse 8. And the Bible says, and this is talking about Elijah, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he had come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, she and he and her house, and did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So we see in our text this morning that we have a mother that is kind of ironic. We don't even know this mother's name. And I thought about that. You know, think of all the mothers. I mean, our mothers are famous to us. They're special to us, but most of us don't have mothers that are famous in the world. The world doesn't know anything about our mother. But this woman, we don't know what her name is. But we see there's some qualities in this mother that that are good, that we would like to see in all mothers. And we also, in our text, we see her that she's going to come to faith in the Lord, faith in God. We see that as well. We know that she's a Gentile mother. Said Zarephath, that's where she was from. That's in Lebanon today, so she wasn't a Jew. They're 3.5 years into a drought. Now think about that for a minute. Remember around here, every now and then we get a dry summer. We go into drought. We don't get rain for 3-4 weeks. Well, here this spring's been kind of dry there up until just recently. You can imagine 3.5 years of a drought. I mean, when they're talking a drought, is no rain, zero, zilch, not a shower, not a thunderstorm, not a sprinkle. 3.5 years of a drought. You know, you think groceries are high now. If we had 3.5 years of a drought, nationally speaking, boy, just think, I mean, it would be death. It would be people that wouldn't be able to make it through that. But God's going to take this woman. Now, Elijah had already, he had been hidden by the brook Cherith, which dried up because of the drought, and he had been fed by ravens for some time, but then that stopped up. So God has sent Elijah to go to this woman to let her take care of him. And this seems like an ironic. So God's doing multitasking things, right? He's going to teach Elijah something. He's going to teach this woman something and her son. He's going to teach them all something all at the same time. And so I just got 3 points to go along with this. Some of these qualities, we're going to see a couple of things, with faith, and then, what this mother was doing that I think would be good qualities and probably are qualities of all good mothers. Number one, the very first point we see at the end of her rope. We see a woman that was at the end of her rope. If you've been a mom very long, you've probably been at the end of your rope many times for different reasons. But we have a woman here that, to start with, she's poor. Most all widows in those days were probably poor. If they had a big family with a lot of relatives or she had a lot of grown sons, she might have been okay. That was your retirement plan. A lot of kids, that was how the retirement plan went. But she only had one son, and we're assuming, it seems to be that this is a younger son. He's not a grown son. So not only would she normally be poor, but because of this fact, she was extremely poor. And then on top of that, we're at 3.5 years into a drought, which would, if you had a lot of money, there wouldn't have been nothing to buy anyway. So she's in a bad way. She's in a bad way. Apparently no relatives to help her along, and I don't know that they could have helped her. Everybody would have been in the same boat, in other words. And it said that she only had a handful of meal. Now, you go and stick your hand in the flour bag when you get home and see how much flour you get out in your hand. And you ladies that know something about cooking, think about how much are you going to get done with a handful of meal in a bag and a little bit of oil in a cruise. You're not going to get a whole lot done. That's what it was. And she said, we're going to eat it and die. And what she meant was that when we get done eating this meat, this right here, this is all we got. There's nothing left in the cupboard. There's nothing stashed anywhere else around. We don't have anybody else to turn to. We're going to eat what we got, the last thing that we've got, and then that's going to be it. We don't see any more hope. We're going to die. Eventually, imagine the prospect. It's bad enough thinking about that you're going to die of starvation yourself, but you got to watch your child starve to death right in front of you. Perhaps he may go before you. She's knowing that she can't provide for her children. So I would say this woman's desperate. She's at the end of her rope. She doesn't know what to do. And all she sees, we know she doesn't have faith because all she sees, this is all I can foresee, is we're going to eat the last little bit of food we got, and then however long it takes, we're going to starve to death and we're going to die. That's it. We don't see help coming from any other way. I would say that would be a good definition at the end of your rope. They're literally at the end of her rope. No resources, out of food, everything. But at the same time, in the midst of all this, we see some qualities that would be good qualities and probably are good qualities of any mother, anyone that we had as a mother, have as a mother, had as a mother. We see certain things that we can look at. Number one, we see that she was an industrious woman. That means she wasn't lazy. And I don't think too many people in those days were. You had to make everything. You had to bake everything. You had to gather everything. We see that she had this meal. She had a little bit of oil. She knew how to make bread. She was out looking for some sticks. You don't need a lot of cooking going on if you're only going to do it with two sticks. So she was looking for some sticks, but she wasn't just going to sit there moan and groan and mope and say, well, what's the use? What's the point? Let's use what we got. We got a little bit of meal. I'm going to get a couple of sticks. She went out there looking. She was going to prepare a fire. She was going to go ahead and do whatever she had to do to make the kind of bread that she was going to make. And using the things that she had, that's a great quality to have. Sometimes we don't have everything. Sometimes, my dad was a hillbilly. My mom and dad both, the people that grew up in that era, man, they made do with what they got. Baling wire, nail it, glue it, stick it, prop it up, whatever you got to do, man, make it work. We're going to get it done. And my dad was like that up till the day he died, had money to buy stuff. My dad took a trash can one time. This is no kidding. Now, a lot of y'all knew my dad. My dad, retired government worker, man. He was a money just rolling in his checking account, man. He carried around big money in the plastic trash can that you put the trash in. Right? You know what I'm talking about? The one that you got out in the garage that you put your big garbage in. The thing cracked down the side. What does one of them things cost? Less than $10 probably back then, back. My dad, it had a crack. He got two little pieces of metal and he screwed them in on each side of the crack, put the metal across the crack and screwed them on there two places to keep it from cracking anymore, and kept using the trash can instead of just going to get a can. We're not talking about a widow woman in Zarephath that didn't have the money to go. Dad, I said, why don't you just buy a can, for crying out loud? Had it till after he died. I threw it out. I threw the thing out. But here's a woman that was making do with what she had. This is a good quality for a mother, anybody that would use along the way. And she, like I said, preparing to make the bread. And Elijah came, and Elijah called out to her, and he asked, he said, you know, could you give me a little bit of water? Now, water, I was in a 3.5-year drought. I'd say water was a pretty scarce commodity, but apparently that she had some. And we see that this woman was hospitable. Hospitality was a big deal in those days. Over in that part of the country, that's the way it was. If a stranger, it was a hospitable thing to do to offer a stranger something to drink. Even when they had a lot of water, or had what they would call a lot of rain, water wasn't, you know, everywhere. And so it was a thing to do. Common courtesy to offer a drink or of water to a stranger or those that ask for it. So here she is. She's about to die. You know, think about the attitude that you might have. She's looking for a couple sticks. They don't have nothing. She's been in a drought. You know, she could have said, hey, buddy, just look, take a hike, man. I mean, I got my own problems to worry about. I mean, I'm going to eat the last thing we got, and I'm going to watch my son starve to death, and you want me to get you a drink of water, right? But she didn't. She said she ran to go get him a water. He said, ask that. So we see that she was hospitable. She was generous. She thought about other people, and I'm going to tell you something, Mom, and those of you that got to be Mom, you learn real quick. If you were a selfish person when you had children, you learn real quick to put somebody else first, because them kids, man, they're constantly pulling and wanting. So it cures you from selfishness pretty much along the way. But she was hospitable. And so what little bit she had, I don't know how much water she had or where they would get it at, but she went to go get him some water. So she exhibited qualities that are still be great qualities today for, or even for anybody, for people in general, even though she was at the end of her rope. The second thing we see, though, that she was in God's scope. Eileen was really impressed with how I alliterated this message, and she told me so. What a man. She said, she was in God's scope. So here we are. She's got this woman. Now, here's Elijah. Here's a man that's been laying out by a creek that dried up in the middle of a drought. He was God's prophet. He was God's man. Had ravens flying in, bringing him meat every day. That's how he fed him. But when that all changed, God said, listen, I could have took care of that there, but I'm not. I want you to go to Zarephath, and I want you to find this widow woman. And he's probably thinking, a widow woman? He knew a widow woman was going to be poor. He knew they'd been in 3.5 years of drought. He knew what the deal was. He said, she's going to take care of you, and I want you to go there. But he got Elijah, he got this woman and her son right where he wanted them. See, God's got to get you down to where you don't have any other resources, and God's got to get to where you're at the end of your rope, sometime to where you'll really, I'm going to tell you what, your prayer life will increase tremendously. It won't be no more of those, if I can use this a little pun, no pun intended, a mealy mouth prayer. It's going to be one of them serious, heartfelt, some tears along with it, some desperation prayers when God gets you to this point right here in your life, when you're going to pray. And she was a desperate woman. And buddy, and Elijah prayed, and boy, he had to go. He's got them all right there. Get us down to our weakest place. Get us down to where we don't have any more of our own resources. And when you get there, God's got you right where he wants you, huh? Because you'll listen to what he's got to say. If there's one ray of hope in God's word, if you can show somebody a ray of hope, they'll listen to that ray of hope when there's nothing else left. And so we don't even know, like I said at the beginning, we don't know this woman's name. And we don't even know what it said in verse 9 there. He just said where it started out in verse 17. I'm in the wrong chapter. Doesn't make sense. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. There dwelleth there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there. We never know her name. We never find out. We don't know her son's name. We don't know about it. But I'm going to tell you what. Because of the way that's worded, God knew she was there the whole time. God knows her name. God knew her name. God knew that she was a widow. God knew her husband had died somehow. God knew that she was starving. God knew she only had a handful of meal. God knew that she needed help there. And he said, listen, I've commanded a widow woman that's there. I know all about it. And I was reading that, and I got to think, well, okay, here's a woman that's she's a Gentile, so she didn't know. We know that she's not a woman of faith because she said, I'm going to eat this meal and I'm going to die. There's no hope. There's nowhere to turn to. She didn't know the one true God. We know that, so she's not a woman of faith yet, but she's about to be. And it said, but God commanded her. And I started thinking about it. I said, well, how did God command her? So I had to kind of study and all that. And what it means there, that word commanded there can mean, and this is probably the way it would apply here, that God arranged or that God prepared her. God had her prepared. Well, you're pretty prepared when you don't have any other hope. And the guy comes along and says, hey, listen, go ahead and make me a cake. And I'm going to tell you, my God's saying that it's not going to run out. It's not going to run out of meal. You're not going to run out of oil. Okay, that's the only word of hope I've heard lately. Nobody else has said that. I'm going to go ahead and go with it, right? And so he commanded her. He prepared her. And just think about that. No matter what you're going through in life, God knows all about it. Sometimes we feel like, boy, God don't know what's going on. Why am I going through all this? Well, God's got to get you to that point, right? You know, so we see this woman going through that. And in God's providence, what do you think? It said, here comes Elijah into the city gate. And it just so happened, where did she happen to be gathering sticks? Right there by the city gate. Isn't that amazing? It's just coincidental. No, it wasn't coincidental. God commanded it. God arranged it. God prepared all this to take place. Because remember, Elijah don't know her name either. You mean there's only one widow woman in Zarephath? Huh? I bet you when Elijah got there, Elijah knew God, right? He got there and he said, hey, there's an old woman gathering sticks. I bet you, it doesn't say, but if he had said, hey, are you a widow woman? You only got one son? You only got a little bit of old meal and two, you getting sticks? Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I thought so. That was it. He called out to the right woman, right? God had got the providence of God has got her in this right very place. That's how he commanded her. So we see that she's at the end of her rope and she's in God's scope. God saw her. God knew it. God's got a plan. And she's not. And because of that, she is not, the third point, not beyond hope. She's not beyond hope. As I said, we know she doesn't have faith, and yet she's about to have it. Now she knows Elijah. When Elijah comes in, notice what she said. Let me read it to you so it'll make more sense. Let me see where I see it. Elijah said to her, fear not, in verse 13, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, he said that, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house didn't meet. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake. And I didn't read far enough down, but her son got sick, and he died, actually, and she called Elijah back. This was sometime after this took place. But in that, but she said that she called Elijah's God your God. She didn't say my God. She said, huh? She said, in your God. He said, I know that you're God. Okay. So there's a couple things. One of them is she would know that he was a Hebrew by two things for sure without him saying anything. One, by how he dressed and his speech. So she would have known he wasn't a Gentile, that he was a Hebrew. And they knew about God. And she says, see, it's in verse 12. Actually, I did read it. In 17, verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, not my God, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel. I knew I'd got it in there somewhere, skipped over. So here's the thing. She knew that there was a God, or the God, but she didn't know him. You know what I'm saying? Remember, I told y'all, I preached a message here a while back, a few months ago. Do you know God, or do you just know about God? She knew about God, but it's the difference in knowing about God and knowing God. See what I'm saying? Just knowing about him. You know, there's people in churches today. You might be here today, and you know all about God, but that don't mean you know him in a relationship way. Huh? Salvation, right? That's faith right there. So she knew about him, but she didn't know him. And what did Elijah do? He gave her the word of God. He told her down there in verse 14. See how it works? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And he said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. That's what God said. Okay, I'm going to have to. She went and did what? And then she went and did what he said. Made a cake for him. Okay, see how it is? The word of God came into her mind. She believed it. And she did what the word of God said. That's faith. That's the beginning of faith. Now, did she know God like we know God? No, she didn't know God like we know God, but she knew that God was, she put some faith there. There was nowhere else to put faith. And man, listen, that faith started up in this, and like I said, and down below there, there's another text. Elijah was with her about 2 years. And that barrel of oil and that meal never, barrel of meal and cruse of oil never ran out. For about 2 years. After that, at some point in time, her son died, and she called back. She was going to blame Elijah, and she was mad and everything, and Elijah went and raised that boy from the dead. The first person ever raised from the dead in the Bible was her son. Wow, man, talking about having something happen to you. This was it. I probably got out of place with that, but I thought I'd lay it on you there. So she went and did exactly what Elijah told her. That's the beginning of faith. It's an instance of, she went from no faith to great faith. And he told her the very first thing, it always comes out. He said, fear not. In other words, don't be afraid to do what God tells you to do. Don't be afraid to do what God tells you to do. Don't be afraid of it. And he said, feed me first. Now, that sounds like an odd request. Feed me first. Give me that meal. Now, this is God's man, right? Well, how much was it going to take to feed him? Everything she had. There wasn't going to be enough, like, okay, we're going to make, I mean, what would you have, like three little cakes about that big around? No, feed me first. You're going to feed him anything. So what does she learn, and what can you learn from this woman? And we can all learn as all people of God, but, you know, we're harping on, focusing in on the mothers today. She learned to put God first. Huh? She learned, number one, she learned to put God first. Not herself. Listen to me. Not her child. She could have said, ain't no way, Jose. I'm baking that cake and I'm giving that to my boy. Huh? Let them old gears turn. Let them old gears turn, huh? Are you guilty of putting your child before God? He's an idol. She's an idol if you do. She's an idol. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's another commandment. Now, she learned to put God first, not herself, not her child. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, like food and clothing, shall be added unto you. Oh, I don't believe it. I believe you don't believe it. Huh? God said it, right? That barrel didn't run out. That meal didn't run out. And that oil didn't run out. So she learned to put God first. She also learned to deny self. To feed Elijah, listen to me. Remember last week I was preaching about that denying self? To feed Elijah was death to self. It was going to be physical death in some sense, in a way. God is asking her to give all she had. Now, I heard some feedback. I got a little parenthetical thing about the lesson. Last week I was preaching on the message about dying to self, and some people had some questions. Somebody said, well, does that mean that I got to go up and give all my hobbies up? No, that's not what it means. Sometimes I know things and I just know them so well that, you know, I forget about all the details that maybe you don't know. No, it doesn't mean that. You have a self. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean you got to go give your hobbies up. But this is what it does mean. Because we have a will and we have a self-life or a self-will, that God's will, there's going to be a conflict. Maybe every day, maybe several times a day, where here's God's will and your will. And dying to self means is when, okay, I'm going to set my will aside and do God's will. That's what dying to self really means. I might not have made that clear last week, so you're getting it in that little extra. That's what it means. It's going to be, Jesus said, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, you know, he wanted that to take place. That means he said, nevertheless, not my will. That means he had, as a man, he had a will opposite of God the Father, or not in line with it. He said, nevertheless, not my will of not having to go to the cross, but thy will be done. See, we're going to have the same thing. maybe every day. Our will and God's will is going to come in conflict with each other. That's what it means, dying to self. And listen, did you have to have all that? No, you couldn't die to self before you were saved because you have to have the Holy Spirit of God. You might have the sense that you need to. That's what I was trying to get to. But you can't die to self without the Spirit of God. See? And so God was leading her down this path. God was leading her along here with the Word. He gave her some hope in that. So I just thought I'd clear that up with you right here in this section, you know, right here. Fit right in there. And so she took that step of faith. And she did as Elijah said. You know, the other side of the coin is just think about it. Okay, we're going to eat a cake and then we're going to die, or we don't eat the cake and we're going to die. We're going to die anyway, right? It's working. Again. Another thing that she learned to let go. She just learned how to let go. Every mother has to learn that. Even though they sometimes they don't. You know, your children never really, you know, you never really get done being a mom to your children, do you? Ain't that right, Sherry? Amen. Huh? Sometimes she's a mom to me. I was going out the door the other day of the house that I got. Here I am, a grown man. I'm 68 years old. I'm going to go to the elementary school and drop off the plastic and that. And she's saying, hey, look, you know, be careful because them kids are up there. I said, all right, Mom. I said, I can see. You know, just being trying to be helpful. But she said I meant because you're not supposed to be dumping it off during the time to get out of here. Anyway. Every mother has to learn to let go sometime. Instead of holding on to what she had, she let go and gave it to God. Now, what do you think is going to be the best? What you can do with it or what God can do with it? Hannah, remember Samuel's mama, Hannah, you'll get her. If the Lord don't come back and we have another Mother's Day, I'll get her in there again. I use her every now and then. She's a good mother. Boy, she took her child that she'd prayed for years, 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 and she said, I'm going to give him back to you, God. He said, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Man, she gave her child back to God. She learned, and boy, once a year, she'd go up and see him and take him a little thing, took him a little coat and took him some stuff. Huh? You got to learn how to let go, right? You know, put them in God's hands. You're not letting them go to a bad thing, you know, right? And so, listen, God doesn't ask us a lot of times, and didn't ask her. God didn't ask her to travel a great distance. He didn't ask her to build a great building, do some great act. He operated in the realm of her everyday life, and that's how God works with us. He operates in the realm of our everyday life, and he said, let me have it. Give it to me. Give me your life. Give me what you have. That's what he asked her to do. Give it all. Give it all. That's what he wants. Give it all. It'll be better. I wonder what would have happened if she hadn't have gave him that meal. What happened if she said, oh, no, I got one son. I'm giving it to him. I'm sorry, sir. I just can't. I can't do it. But Elijah said, but listen, God said, if you would do this, that this meal is never going to run out in oil. And in other words, God said, listen, I'll take care of every need. I don't believe it. You know what would have happened? She'd have ate that one meal, and that's all she would have had, and she would have died. She gave it all to God. She had to believe before she acted. She believed before she acted. And only then did the blessing come. Not only did it come to her, it came to her family. Her son lived. And I said, if you read the story behind it, the rest of chapter 17, he died. The guy died, and she called Elisha. Man, he came and laid himself on top of that child and prayed to God. And guess what? He's the first. Her son, we don't even know her name. We don't even know this boy's name. Her son was the first person brought back to life in the Bible. Amen. First resurrected, brought back to life. Think about that. We don't have to know. God knows. Say God lived there about 2 years with her. The meal wasted not, nor the cruse of oil never ran out. What a blessing, man. What a blessing. And she didn't even know what the New Testament said about seek ye first the kingdom of God. God had another lesson, like I said, another lesson, and that lesson about her son, and brought back, he let her know, listen, man, listen, it's nothing for me to provide the meal, keep the meal from running out, keep the oil. He said, I can do greater than that. I can bring him back from the dead. I can raise him up from the dead. Man, her faith was like, huh? There was a woman of faith, I guarantee you, after that day right there, seeing what God could do. But see, she never sees it. You got to take the first step. You gotta believe what the Word of God says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But how's he gonna do it? You don't have to know how he's gonna do it. We know how he done it, I mean, because of Jesus dying, but all you have to know, listen, you gotta take the first step. You never see the rest of the blessings until you take the first step. You never see that. What a mother. She put God first. She gave God all she had. She died to herself. And she and her family were blessed. Huh? What an example to mothers everywhere, huh? God knew her the whole time. God knew she was there the whole time. She was in God's scope. And so are you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.